You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Athletic.
Hi folks, welcome to another episode of the Athletic FPL podcast. I'm Mark McGettigan. You can find me on Twitter at FPL General. Game week 10 is in the books and we've got one more weekend of FPL action before yet another 2-week international break. It's a Friday deadline this week, 6:30 p.m. UK time, 90 minutes before Southampton versus Aston Villa kicks off. There's Champions League and Europa League action this week as well, so be patient with your transfers if you can be. In today's episode, I'll cover the Game Week 10 headlines and shoutouts, do a quick Game Week review, update the watch list, answer Twitter questions, and discuss Game Week 11 captaincy and transfers. There will be another Athletic FPL podcast on Friday, so make sure to hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening for that one. And if you'd like to become a subscriber to The Athletic, visit theathletic.com/FPL pod to get 33% off an annual subscription. And in doing so, you'll get ad-free versions of this podcast. The Game Week 10 headlines. Reece James was the king of the game week, scoring a brace against Newcastle for a mega 21-pointer. Well done if you owned Reece James. Aaron Ramsdale was in sensational form to preserve the clean sheet for Arsenal in their 2-0 win over Leicester. The former Sheffield United stopper racked up 10 points for his owners. Cristiano Ronaldo was back in the points, scoring and assisting in Manchester United's 3-0 win at Tottenham, which turned out to be Nuno Espirito Santo's last game in charge. It'll be interesting to see what that means for FPL and the Spurs assets. Legend Liveramento delivered again, picking up the clean sheet points against Watford. Rafinha made a rapid recovery from the size challenge last week to start and score for Leeds in a 2-1 win at Norwich. Maxwell Cornet now has 4 goals in just 277 minutes of game time. He contributed to Burnley's 3-1 win at home to Brentford. It was another blank for Mr. Tony. That's 4 in a row now. West Ham scored 4, but frustratingly, Antonio wasn't directly involved in any of the goals. Crystal Palace stunned Manchester City, beating Pep Guardiola's side 2-0 at the Etihad. Aymeric Laporte was sent off just before half-time, with City already trailing 1-0 to Wilfred Zaha's third goal of the season. Conor Gallagher got the assist, then scored himself for a surprise 13-pointer. He's certainly back on the radar now. Liverpool blew a 2-0 lead to drop points at home to Brighton. Mohamed Salah got his customary attack in return, but it was just an assist this time. The shoutouts from Game Week 10. We have a new member to the club. Welcome, Yves Bissouma from Brighton. Notable mentions this week. Defenders, first of all, Konsa at Aston Villa got a 49th minute red card and he got himself a -4. Of course, continued to get negative points for every 2 goals that West Ham scored in that one. At City, Laporte's 46th minute red card got him a -3. And at Leicester, Amarty substituted at half time when Leicester changed system. Midfielders, Kevin De Bruyne, very, very close to joining the club. 58 minutes for the Belgian for a 1-pointer. Very hard to justify buying him at the moment, given that he's getting benchings and he's getting early substitutions. Lucas Moura at Tottenham, just 53 minutes. The Tottenham fans did not like that substitution. Benrahma got just 63 minutes, so that's a bit worrying if you own him, even though he did get the assist in that game. And Cornet, he's been doing brilliant for Burnley, but he continues to get early substitution, 67 minutes in game week 10. And up front, Iheanacho, like Amarty, was substituted at half time, so we can't really touch him at the moment either. Lacazette at Arsenal, 57 minutes. Ronaldo got us points and then was protected, taken off after 70 minutes, so we could see that going forward. especially when we get into the busy Christmas period with lots and lots of fixtures. We could see Ronaldo getting 60 or 70 minutes. He's not going to play 90 every week at his age. And finally, at Crystal Palace, Edouard, who started ahead of Benteke. Benteke was on the bench. Edouard got just 72 minutes. So I think Edouard and Benteke, it's quite hard to go there because both of them are getting reduced minutes. A quick review of how Game Week 10 went for me. I saved my transfer. I wanted to have two free transfers for Game Week 11. My team was in good shape, so when that is the case, I usually save the transfer. There was a lot of temptation to get Phil Foden, but I would have had to take a minus four to do so. So I'm glad I avoided that. Finished on 52 points, which seen my rank a small green arrow from 45k to 41k, but we'll take a green arrow no matter how small it is. That's three green arrows on the bounce since I played the wildcard, so things are going well. Hopefully I can make it four green arrows before the international break and then look to bounce forward afterwards. The good and the bad. The good, first of all, Ramsdale with a 10-pointer. He frustrated me the first two game weeks I owned them, but finally, I know what it feels like to get a clean sheet from Ramsdale. I owned him probably for about 12 or 13 game weeks last season, two game weeks this season before game week 10. So it's taken me about 15 game weeks in total to get a clean sheet from Ramsdale. And hopefully it's not the last one. Chilwell got me 8. Livermento off my bench for Mason Mount. So Mason Mount was ill. I had Livermento first sub ahead of Mbeumo, because I did feel Mbeumo had a chance of not playing, given that it was a hamstring issue. So good decision to put Livermento first sub, even though it wouldn't have mattered anyway, because Mbeumo didn't play. So nice to get Livermento points when they've been stuck on my bench for most of the season so far. Rafinha, 9. Always felt keeping him for a Norwich fixture was a good idea, and good to see that pay off. And Salah got the 10 as captain. The bad, defensively, the double City defence has been a nightmare since the wildcard. So Diaz and Cancelo and Trent got me 4 points between them this weekend. And up front, like most people, strikers are a bit of a nightmare at the moment. Vardy, Antonio and Tony, 5 points between them. So I think if I could play with five defenders and five midfielders at the moment, I probably would. Maybe that's a new chip FPL need to introduce, the no strikers chip. A watch list update now. Players added, first of all, Ben White. I considered Ben White on the wildcard a couple of weeks ago, but I didn't really want to double up with Ramsdale. That's why he didn't make the cut. But he's back on the watch list now because obviously Arsenal kept the clean sheet, but more so, if I want to buy Son soon, which I think I probably will, it might mean taking some cash out of defence. And that's why I might be looking for a player at 4.5 million or less defensively. So that's why I've added Ben White to the watch list. In a similar price bracket, I've also added Tyrick Mitchell. I actually didn't add Mitchell to the watch list until I was going through the questions for this podcast, which you'll see later. Someone highlighted how good the Crystal Palace fixtures are for the long term. So Mitchell is another option as a 4.5 million defender. Crystal Palace are just a really good side, and I think Mitchell at 4.5 is the pick of their defenders. I've also added Reguilon because of the managerial change at Tottenham. The new manager is not confirmed yet at the time of recording. It looks like by the time you listen to this, we could have Antonio Conte as the new Tottenham manager, which I think could be great news in particular for Reguilon. Could end up playing as a wing back in a Conte system. We know how good Reguilon is going forward. Conte should show them up defensively. So Reguilon, you know, he's probably the first name that came to mind when the rumours of Conte started to surface. So Reguilon on the watch list. Also Sadio Mane, he's been having, you know, a pretty good season. All the focus is on Mohamed Salah, but Mane's getting plenty of goals at the moment as well. I know there's always a slight rotation risk with Jota, but I think Mane's more in my thoughts now than he was earlier in the season, because if we own Salah, if everyone captains Salah, we're not gaining from him. So we need to look elsewhere in the Liverpool attack. So Mane is on my watch list, probably for the first time this season. And finally, Cristiano Ronaldo back on the watch list. Owned him for the Newcastle fixture a couple of weeks ago when he got his two goals. Sold him shortly afterwards, but it was good to see him back in the points at the weekend. But I think, pinch of salt, it was a very, very poor Tottenham side. And I'm still not in a rush to go back to Manchester United assets, but I will keep a close eye on Ronaldo in game week 11. Players removed from the watch list this week: Damari Gray at Everton, quite simply because he plays for Everton. Everton have been very, very disappointing recently, and I'm not looking to invest in any of their players. Gundogan is gone as well because he didn't feature in game week 10, so a bit of a rotation risk player there. Edouard and Benteke are gone from the watch list for, you know, the reasons I mentioned earlier. Broya is gone because he's injured, and also, you know, I thought Armstrong had a pretty decent performance at the weekend, plenty of chances, should have had at least one goal to his name. So, you know, at Southampton, there's Broya, there's Armstrong, and there's Adams. So there's too much competition for my liking. And finally, player removed is Iheanacho, you know, substituted at halftime. Harvey Barnes came on, so there's no guarantee that Iheanacho is going to continue to start game. So strikers is an absolute nightmare. You know, we really need a few to emerge over the coming game weeks because it's, there's not many to choose from.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
At the moment. Twitter questions now. First one this week is from FPL Shoreham. With Conte to Spurs seeming like a done deal, do we wait a game or two or jump on Spurs assets immediately? So I had a look at the fixtures. If you look at the fixture ticker for the next five game weeks, Tottenham are at the top. So fixtures are very, very good for Tottenham. So it feels like a perfect storm FPL wise. We've got the fixtures for Tottenham. We're hoping to have a new manager bounce as well, which we often see when teams get taken over. You know, players like Kane could be basically given a kick up the ass, and we might see him starting to care a bit more on the pitch, which could be good news FPL wise. So fixtures are good. Obviously, you've got a decision to make. Do you jump in right away and hope the bounce happens immediately? I think it's Everton next for Tottenham, which I really like because, like I said earlier, Everton have been very, very disappointing. It was another very disappointing performance in game week 10. So I think it could be worth going early. You know, players like Son, you know, I like Son a lot more than I do Kane. So Son is the one I'm going to look to go to first. But even picking up a Tottenham defender like Reguilon could be worth it. So I think that's my preference. Son first, you know, Reguilon probably comes second. And at the moment, until I see more from Harry Kane, he's probably third on my list. So I think if you're in a position this week where you can get to Son easily, I think it could pay off because it's Everton next, and then the next four after that are really good as well. So yeah, certainly, you know, especially if it's Antonio Conte, it's certainly piqued my interest in Tottenham players. So yeah, going early could be worth it. And when it gets to the transfer section, you'll see that I may do so myself when it comes to Heung-Min Son. Question from Dominic Lapadula. Is it time to sell Rafinha? The next nine fixtures don't look good, so Dominic lists them out here. Leicester, who have improved defensively, Spurs, possibly under Conte, Brighton, Crystal Palace, who are one of the informed defences, then Chelsea, City, Arsenal, Liverpool. So I've had a look again. While I was looking at the Tottenham fixtures, I had a look at the Leeds fixtures. And if you look at the next nine game weeks, Leeds are right at the bottom as having the trickiest fixtures of all teams. So I can understand why some people will take Rafinha's nine-pointer and run now. But for me, I don't think he's the weakest link in my squad. So he'll probably survive for at least one more game week. Maybe it's something I look to change in game week 12. That's if I don't buy Son this week. Maybe Rafinha might be the fall guy in game week 12 to get Son. But yeah, I think most teams this week, Rafinha, if you own him, he's probably not your biggest problem. And if it's a case of selling Rafinha for a player in a similar price tag, I would probably just keep him and save the transfer in order to have two frees after the international break. It's always nice to have two frees after an international break, especially during COVID times with lots of players traveling. So I'm a bit conflicted this week. Do I save my transfer, you know, make just one transfer and have two for after the break because I've got two frees this week? Or do I use the two free transfers to get Heung-Min's Son? So it's quite tricky. But on Rafinha, I think it's fine to keep him unless your team is looking very, very healthy. and you can get to someone who you think is better. But again, you're probably going to have to spend a few bob more to get a better player than Rafinha. So fixtures don't worry me too much when it comes to the Leeds man. Question from Benno. Mbeumo to Smith Rowe or hold Mbeumo for Norwich? So yeah, this is a tricky one as well. I just think the fact, you know, it's a bit like Rafinha last week. When a player has Norwich next, I don't think they should be sold. I know there's question marks over Mbeumo because he got 0 minutes last game week, but Brentford, it was a very poor result for them. They've looked their best this season when Mbeumo's been in the team. So he's got another week to get himself up to fitness again. So I would fully expect Mbeumo to come back into the starting 11 against Norwich. And for that reason, I think he's worth keeping. Smith Rowe does have a good fixture as well. Arsenal play Watford at home. So again, if you really feel like Smith Rowe is going to be the better option this weekend and long term, you know, I probably wouldn't stop anyone from making that move. But for me, again, like I said, like Rafinha last week, I am going to keep Mbeumo. And I just think we can give ourselves one more week to assess this. You know, let's keep Mbeumo for Norwich. If he doesn't start, or if he gets 60 or 70 minutes, and if Smith Rowe gets the 90 minutes against Watford, then when it comes to game week 12, it's probably an easier transfer to make then. I think it's one of those where we can give it another week, save the transfer instead, and then reassess things. Question from Matthias Amon. Is it overthinking to sell Antonio just because he has a few difficult fixtures coming up when there is an excellent run coming in a few weeks' time? Or is it overthinking to keep him just because we might want him later when there are options with better fixtures in the short term? So yeah, Antonio, I think, is a really tricky one for a lot of managers. For me, I don't think it's tricky because I always said, as long as he's fit this season, I'm going to keep him regardless of fixtures. So I'm not looking to sell him at all. I know lots of people are, because the fixtures are a little bit trickier coming up for West Ham, but I just rate West Ham very, very highly. And I think when we've got Antonio at quite a cheap price, in particular if you got him, was he 7.5 at the start of the season? That's amazing value if you look at what he's done over the course of the first 10 game weeks. And I heard a stat on Match of the Day at the weekend. I think it was in the calendar year of 2021, Manchester City and Manchester United are the only teams who have picked up more points than West Ham. So we've got to view West Ham as a really good side. And we've seen it, you know, we've seen it again against Aston Villa. Yes, it was a red card in the game, but they went out and they put four past them convincingly. So for me, Antonio is absolutely fine to keep. I think another reason why I'm fine to keep him is there's just not a huge amount of strikers. There's not very many strikers at all screaming out to me at the moment, come and buy me, even with good fixtures. So for me, Antonio is a keep. Another question from Benno. It's not very often I include two questions from the same person, but I like both of them. Benno's second question was, could Antonio to Jimenez be a shrewd move? So if I was going to sell Antonio, Jimenez is probably right up there as one of the alternatives. Wolves fixtures are okay in the short term. Crystal Palace next, West Ham, Norwich and Burnley. So, you know, Crystal Palace and West Ham, I view them as tricky fixtures, but then the two after that, Norwich and Burnley, I think are good fixtures for an attacker. But then if you go further ahead, Liverpool and Man City back-to-back for Wolves. So Jimenez, if you're getting him, it's probably for four game weeks, and then you're probably going to look to lose him for the Liverpool and Man City fixture. So again, I'm not overly convinced by Jimenez. I'm still not sure who's the better option, Hwang or Jimenez. So for that reason, I keep coming back to just keep an Antonio, ride out the difficult fixtures, and then Antonio's going to have good fixtures again anyway. And Antonio's, he's the kind of player, fixtures doesn't bother me. He can get goals against anyone. So as long as he's fit and as long as West Ham are playing as well as they are, I'm more than happy to keep Antonio. Question from Vivek. What to do with Vardy? He was bringing in the goods, and then when I bought him, it's back-to-back blanks. Yeah, like many people, myself included, once we bought Vardy, the goals dried up. And it's one of those where I don't actually mind that much, because when a player is scoring every week when you don't have him, you buy him and you hope that he either continues to score or you break him, because at least he's not hurting your rank anymore. So question about Vardy, I think it's an easy keep because he plays Leeds next. After that, it's Chelsea. So I think we keep Vardy for the Leeds game and then we look to possibly move him when they play Chelsea. And that could be, you know, if Harry Kane looks better this weekend, Vardy is a nice placeholder for Harry Kane. Or if Harry Kane doesn't look good, maybe Cristiano Ronaldo comes back into play. Lukaku is probably going to be fit after the international break as well. So for me, I'm probably looking at Vardy for the Leeds game. and then possible sell when he plays Chelsea. Question from Mark Briggs. What are my thoughts on bringing in Reece James for Joao Cancelo? Mark says, it would mean I have a Chelsea triple up in defence with Rudiger and Chilwell already there. So next six fixtures for Chelsea are Burnley, Leicester, Manchester United, Watford and West Ham. Next five fixtures, I should say. So Reece James, obviously those of us who don't own him, it wasn't fun to watch him score twice. I did think there was a chance he would have been benched for that game because he played the cup game the midweek beforehand. So that's kind of what put me off the Diaz to James move last week. And I'm trying to think whether he is a must-have now, given what he's done, or should we still view him as that player who is a rotation risk? It's a tricky one because I think naturally we focus on the 21-pointer, for example. Sunday and Monday of this week, we're all thinking, oh, I need to get this guy 21 points. I can't not have him for the next game week. But as the week progresses, then you calm down a wee bit and you think, right, just a couple of days ago, I didn't buy him because I thought he was rotation risk. And is he going to score twice again this season? Probably not. But, you know, I do think he's a very good option. And the specific question here is about selling a Man City defender to get a Chelsea defender. And I think that's fine, but I prefer selling Diaz for James than I do Cancelo for James, because I still think Cancelo is a very good option. You know, he's got much more attack and threat than Diaz has. So I'm in the position where I've got Cancelo and Diaz. So I am considering Diaz to James this week. But that would bring me to a double Chelsea defence rather than triple. But I do think triple is viable. You know, with Lukaku out of the picture at the moment, you know, Mason Mount question marks over him as well. It's quite hard to justify investing in Havertz at the moment as well, I think. So yeah, I think Chelsea triple up defensively is always viable because they are a very good defence, but I just fear maybe the time has passed for that because the fixtures were better a couple of weeks ago. You know, like I said, Burnley next is great for a triple up, but then Leicester and Manchester United, I'd probably, you know, both teams are capable of scoring against Chelsea. Then it's Watford, again, that's great for a triple up, but then it's West Ham, who I rate quite highly as well. So there's probably three out of the next five fixtures I think Chelsea could concede. So that puts me off the triple up. I think the double up is fine. I think the triple up is a step too far for me, especially when Lukaku will probably be back soon and you want to keep the door open for him. For example, if you have Vardy, you want to leave the Lukaku door open. So I think I would just keep Cancelo and I would avoid Reece James in that scenario and just trust Chilwell and Rudiger to bring you home the points. And we shouldn't focus too much on one game week. You know, for example, game week 10, Reece James scored 21 points. But go back a few game weeks and look at his one-pointers as well. There will be more of those to come, I'm sure. That's not to say I still think Reece James is a very, very good option, and there is a chance I might end up buying him myself this week, but he's not going to get 21 points every game week. Question from FPL Juggs. What are my thoughts on Ronaldo after his haul at the weekend? Keep or sell to enable moves such as Kane or Son in game week 12? So yeah, Ronaldo, again, I'm taking it with a pinch of salt because it was Tottenham, one of the worst teams in the league in game week 10. You know, we met them at the right time, Manchester United, you know, coming off a very poor result ourselves. I think Spurs probably made us look better than we are at the moment. So Ronaldo, I'm not willing to go back there straight away. It's Man City this week anyway, so it's probably not the time to buy him. After that, it's Watford, Chelsea and Arsenal. So Watford, good fixture. Chelsea and Arsenal, not good fixture. So I think on Ronaldo, fixtures do put me off him. If he's going to be taken off early in games as well, it's not ideal. He could be on the bench from time to time as well to protect him as we get into the busy period of the season. So my thoughts on Ronaldo haven't really changed after his 12-pointer. He has been added back to my watch list, but that's as far as he's going for the time being. I'll watch him closely, watch Manchester United closely against Manchester City. But again, I feel like I say this every week as a Manchester United fan, I'm not looking forward to the game this weekend. Question from Thomas Lang. Should we go all in on Maxwell Cornet? Is he what we thought Mbeumo would be? That was exactly one of my tweets a couple of days ago. Cornet does look like what we hoped Mbeumo would be. So Cornet, amazing. 4 goals in very few minutes. The issue this week is he plays Chelsea. Burnley play Chelsea while Mbeumo has the Norwich fixture. So again, I think it's a case of keep Mbeumo for the Norwich game. Let's see what Corney looks like against Chelsea. You don't expect much from him in that game. But the main thing is you want to see him get more minutes because he is getting those early substitutions every game week. So hopefully he's got to the point now where he's almost ready to play 90 minutes and Sean Dyche just trusts him to play, you know, 80 to 90 minutes rather than 60 to 70. So I think that's one to think, come back to in game week 12. Give him Bumo this week. Let's see how many minutes Corney gets against Chelsea. And then maybe we can look to invest in him from Game Week 12. He certainly looks like a very, very good option. Question from Mark White. What are my views on Tyrick Mitchell? The Mighty Palace have a favourable fixture run. They're a decent defence and he's playing as an advanced fullback. So yeah, this was the question that forced me to go and add Mitchell to my watch list, you know, because I might be looking for a cheap defender. So up until Game Week 20, Crystal Palace are top of the fixture ticker. I had a look at defenders as well, priced at 4.5 million or less, just to see what Mitchell's stats are like. He's 7th for chances created with 6, which is decent. It's all you can really expect from a 4.5 million defender. 0 goal attempts for Mitchell, so you're probably not going to get goals. But what we're hoping for is a decent amount of clean sheets. I think it's 3 in 10 so far, but I think Crystal Palace could improve on that going forward. I think they have played quite a few of the top teams over the first 10 game weeks. So you're looking for clean sheets and hopefully a few assists as well. Mitchell putting the ball on Benteke's head, hopefully. So yeah, Mitchell, I do like him. I didn't realise how good Crystal Palace fixtures were for the long term. So he's in my thoughts now if I look to a cheap defender.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Moving on now to captaincy and transfers for game week 11. So if you look at the fixtures in terms of captaincy, there's lots of very nice fixtures for good teams. But I still think, for me, it's going to be perma-captain Salah against West Ham. I think West Ham is a difficult fixture for Liverpool, but I'm still going to back Salah to continue his good form and get at least one attack return, if not more, in that game. Looking at the other options, if you want to go against the crowd and go against Salah, Vardy is away to Leeds. I think that's a very good fixture. Brentford are at home to Norwich. So even though Tony has blanked in his last four games, surely he scores against a very poor Norwich team. Chelsea are at home to Burnley. Again, very good fixture. But are you willing to captain a Chelsea defender over Salah? Or a Mason Mount or a Havertz over Salah? Not for me. Arsenal are at home to Watford. Again, fixtures are very nice. Aubameyang, if you have him, worth consideration. Maybe even Smith Rowe. But again, I keep coming back to Salah. I find it so hard to go against him, you know, when I compare him to these options. And finally, Tottenham, if the bounce is going to start right away, it's a good fixture. They're away to Everton. So Son or Kane. Obviously, I said earlier, I like Son more. But if you have Harry Kane, he might be worth considering as well. But my advice is stick with Salah and look to make your gains elsewhere. In terms of transfers for Game Week 11, I've got two frees. So very often when you've got two frees, it's more tricky than having one because there's too many routes you can go. But because it's an international break, I would like to have two afterwards. So initially, I am looking to make just one transfer this week. And if I do make just one, it's most likely to be getting away from the double City defence and moving to double Chelsea defence. So Ruben Dias out for either Rhys James or Rudiger for the Burnley home game. Feels like a good time to make the switch because Dias has Man United. Hopefully Man United score. And then, you know, the Chelsea have Burnley, so you're hoping for a clean sheet there. So the question is, do I go for the more exciting Rhys James, who is a rotation risk, or do I go the safe, boring route of Rudiger, who's still, you know, getting plenty of FPL points himself? I think I probably would lean towards the fun pick in Rhys James there. If Mason Mount is ruled out again, so he's got a yellow flag at the moment due to illness, I don't think he's going to play Champions League. So I'll be keeping a close eye on Tuchel's press conference on Friday. If Mason Mount gets ruled out, I've got, you know, I can either just bench him because I've got Livermento and Mbeumo. So benching Mount probably seems fine and maybe sell him the week after. But what that made me think was, and I had a look to see if I had enough cash for this, what I could do, I could get rid of Mason Mount and I could get rid of Dias and I could bring in Heung-Min Son. So get in early on Son, who I'm going to want to own probably for the long term now anyway, for the next 5-6 game weeks when Tottenham have good fixtures. So maybe get him in for the Everton fixture and hope that he performs. And then to do so, I would need a 4.5 million defender. I think I've got 4.6 million, but by the time it gets to Thursday or Friday, it'll probably be a 4.5 million defender I need. So Ben White is an option to double up with Ramsdale. I could go Mitchell for Crystal Palace's good fixtures. And I still like Rico Henry at Brentford. He's also on my watch. So this week for me, it's either Dias to a Chelsea defender or get Son in early and use up my two free transfers. So that's what I'll be chewing on for the rest of the week. It'll be interesting to see if, you know, if anything crops up in Champions League or Europa League to change our plans. Thank you for taking the time out of your week to tune into this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Please leave a review wherever you're listening and give it a 5 stars on iTunes. Hit the subscribe button so you don't miss Friday's episode. And if you'd like to support me as a full-time fantasy football content creator, check out patreon.com/FPLGeneral where you'll get extra content and podcast throughout the season. Have a great week, folks. Enjoy the Champions League and I'll talk to you again on Friday.
The Athletic.